Hey everyone, you're listening to the Jimmy and Dave's Mixtape Podcast, and what are we talking about today, Jimmy?
Well, first, we're going to get some of that Grammy fever, then we're going to follow it up with talking about the movie High Fidelity, and finally, we're going to start our My Morning March Madness month. So many M's.
So sit back and enjoy the show. Okay, hope everyone is doing well. Jimmy, how are you doing?
I am terrific.
Great.
It is the year of Jimmy as far as music goes.
Yes, so ironically, the first episode of this year, did you know that the Hold Steady was having a new album out?
I didn't know when it was coming out. I think I saw they're putting out a few singles earlier, but I did not know the album was dropping until I think the day it dropped, maybe the night before, but it was a pleasant surprise for me.
Yes. And what do you, how many times did you listen to the album? A couple times?
I would probably say I have to be getting close to double digits.
Double she digits?
A picture of double a plethora digits. Of poker chips.
Wow.
Spread on the bed between a mouth and a leg.
More than five, less than ten.
Pretty many people already.
All right.
Still, I wish you were
so.
Here.
What is some of your favorite tracks on this album?
Spices, number two. I think I actually heard that before it came out. I think Spices and Family Farm, tracks two and four, might have been the...
Is that the Woo one?
The two singles. No, Unpleasant Breakfast. As Woos, that would make Kurt Vile proud. Woo!
Yeah, that one, I had one too many's.
It reminds me, I can't
Family
put a finger
Farm,
on it.
The bell parts and like the just all the extra instruments they have
mm-hmm.
in that album.
No, I like how, again, I don't really know 100% on what this, like, it's definitely almost like a concept album if you listen to it. It has something to do with, I think, a girl going out west with a band or something, and then typical Hold Steady, bad things tend to happen.
Yeah.
You know? But it's a cool album. Everyone should check it out.
Yes. So it's called Open Door Policy, and to go check it out. It's on Jimmy's recommendation list, I guess. It is the year for Jimmy. Who else just announced a new album that you're excited about?
Todd Snyder is going to put out an album based on all his buddies that passed away last year. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be a real upper.
Yeah, I know.
He was close with Prine and Jerry Jeff Walker.
Yeah.
I forget. One of the jam band, their guitarist guys. I forget. I'm blanking on his name. But Jay Maskus and Dinosaur Jr. are also putting out an album fairly soon. So
it is the
year of Jimmy.
You. It is the year of Jimmy. Well, congratulations.
Yay.
So speaking of the year, the Grammys are, at the time of recording this episode, are going to be recorded this, I think, next week. And so we figured it'd be fun to talk a little bit about the list. But before we do, I maybe knew about 10% of the list. Jimmy, how did you do on that?
I've heard of 10%, maybe.
First question, are we hack frauds?
Yes.
Okay.
But I think we learned that when we tried to take on the pop music of...
Correct.
Now that's
what I call music. Now that's music that we don't mention anymore. So, yes. So I honestly looked at the list and I didn't recognize everyone. But I will say I thought it looked interesting, especially seeing like who. Let's start with the album of the year, and of course, there's Taylor Swift. I think she's the favorite. What do you think? I think she has.
Yeah,
love.
I would. Yeah, at least in my little bubble, that's the one I'm by far most familiar with. But I know, you know, she's also got a lot of buzz, like from other people, from what I know.
And to be fair, though, some of the artists seem like they are just more of a genre that you and I, as old fogies, don't really listen to. So there could always be the upset, I guess, like when that one. Surprise, you know, person wins, or like Steely Dan beats out Radiohead.
Did you know Coldplay even put out an album this year? last year?
No, I had no idea. But like I said, I was surprised, like I said, when we were talking about Big Thief being nominated. I said I thought their album came out over 2 years, but I guess it's when they released it. Yeah. So let's jump to, do you think Phoebe Bridgers is going to win Best New Artist?
I mean, if I
feel I
had
like
to
the odds are
someone,
stacked against her.
I agree.
Yeah.
But again, I jokingly asked my wife if Noah Cyrus was Miley Cyrus's sister, and it turns out I was right, and it is.
I don't even know who that is.
I didn't either, but there you go.
Okay. We are proving our hack for this.
Yeah, Severin, keep listening to us for musical expertise.
The ones I do think we feel maybe probably a little better about, let's talk about best rock performance. Fiona Apple is nominated with Shamika, Big Thief, Not, Phoebe, Kyoto, Haim, The Steps, Brittany Howard, Stay High, and Grace Potter, Daylight. Who do you think is going to win there for best rock performance?
I mean, Fiona's album was probably, at least when it came out, pretty hyped about. Mm-hmm. Maybe Fiona.
Okay. I think Big Thief should win, personally. But I don't know. I think I could see Fiona Apple winning this one. I agree. Maybe, but I don't know. Maybe Phoebe wins this one and doesn't win Best Indie or New Artist.
This is the one category where I actually I haven't listened to all the albums, but I like all the artists.
Right.
On here.
I have a feeling Tame Impala is going to win. I feel like they are the Grammy band that would just win the best rock song.
Yeah. I did hear in a commercial last night, they were just naming acts and stuff, and Brandi Carlile was mentioned on the commercial.
Uh-huh.
And that was weird because it was like everyone else was people newer artists that I never have heard of, and I didn't know Brandi Carlile was mainstream relevant. So good work, Brandi.
Yeah. Did you know that Beck released an album?
Nope. Completely missed it. Did you?
No, I was just looking. I was like, oh, Beck made an album because it's on Best Alternative Music Album. It's Fiona Apple, Beck, Hyperspace, Phoebe again. I feel like Phoebe's, I hope she doesn't lose. I hope she wins something. I hope she doesn't strike out completely this one. Brittany Howard, then Tame Impala. Sturgill's dominated Best Rock Album.
I saw that.
I want that one to win, honestly. That'd be cool to see him win Best Country and Best Rock. I don't know if he won Best Country, but he was nominated or something. But I mean, overall, I can't act like I'm going to watch it. I will probably just wait until the next day.
Do you think he would give a speech if he actually won?
Sturgill?
Yeah.
I don't know. Who knows? I think he would. I think he would.
He likes the Grammys more than the country music.
Well, none of them like the country music right now because of their disrespect of John Prine and not acknowledging him, which is what they should be mad about. John Prine deserves his respect.
Agreed.
Yeah. So, it's funny we're talking about it, but I'm really just going to read who won the next day. I'm probably not even going to watch them myself. I can't act like I'm going to. I'll watch the highlights next time and watch the performances the next day, usually. I don't usually watch it live. Do you?
Yeah, we usually tune in for a little.
Yeah. I guess maybe this year will be interesting to see how they do. All right. So let's move on. This month, besides being, what are you calling our My Morning Jacket month there, Jimmy?
We can call it My Morning March Madness.
My Morning March Madness. Mm-hmm. Before we do, we decided we were talking about watching two movies. We decided to, since we're making My Morning Jacket into two episodes, we're going to split the movies up and we'll talk about them comparatively next time. So the one we're talking about next time is Almost Famous. And the one we're talking about today is High Fidelity. And last time, of course, if years ago, we did a soundtrack off where you chose Little Miss Sunshine and I picked Hackers. And I think everyone agreed that I had the better soundtrack and it was the better movie.
Oh, yeah. It was a great one.
Yeah. And so, but I know you didn't really like Hackers last time. So I figured this one, Jimmy's going to love. It's going to be a home run. So what did you think about High Fidelity?
I did not love the movie.
It has a 7.5 on IMDb.
Which is crazy to me. I was bored. I felt like it drug on, and I felt like it was, I don't know. I felt like it was toxic. I feel like an old sourpuss over here.
Yeah. Cancel culture Jimmy over here.
The beta band part made me laugh. I'll give it that.
Yeah. So, go ahead.
No, it had Jack Black.
I like
Jack Black.
Did you laugh a couple times at the Jack Black Cosby sweater part and stuff like that at all?
I think I might have.
I think this is one. I do like Jack Black's role in this. And I was telling you about this before. I've watched this movie multiple times. This was the movie I would watch, you know, in college when you didn't have cable or something. You'd watch like same DVDs over and over to fall asleep to. This might be one I watched. So I probably watched it plenty of times, like years ago though. So watching the movie today, I can't say I still do enjoy the movie. However, and I told you this, dislike almost every single character in the movie. Like now, as I think maybe it is because I'm just older. I don't think it's almost like it's kind of like how now when you recatch an Arai, it's like, is this guy really that great? Like, is this really something we should be living up to? Like, and that's how I felt about like that guy. You're like, oh, how cool would it be to be the record store guy? But then you look at his life and you're obviously like, that guy's a miserable life.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're not nice people. Like when you watch that part where the guy just wants the record and they don't sell it to him, it's like, ugh, it's so mean. It's so heartbreaking.
Yeah, no, I thought the main guy was very, like, he was very, very whiny. I felt like, you know, get over it. Your heart's broken. Who cares?
Yeah.
And I just feel like he was very entitled, like, which I guess is part of the joke.
Yeah. I think now that I watch it, I don't think you're supposed to necessarily like him. And I think the movie does do a job of somewhat does a good job of in the beginning, it make it look like he was the one always getting hurt. But as he goes through, it's realizing there's stuff he did that, you know, he does start to realize it. However,
he doesn't really fix himself because then he tries to.
Yeah, I know. Like that's where it's like
there's nothing redeeming about him. It's not like
I know. It is like
I expect. Maybe it's something I expect more of Jack Black. I expected him to be more of like a he was definitely a snob, but I was expecting him more of like a rock snob, kind of like his character in School of Rock.
Mm-hmm.
Like I would have liked to see him more like. That kind of rock, like almost like the classic rock, like front man kind of vibe instead of his in this. He was more of a, I don't know, just the whole movie felt like it was just lacking something.
I think it also has one of those. It's one of those woe is me movies you watch. And maybe I was just woe is me at that age or something.
And I feel like the problem with this being a woe is me movie is you don't actually feel. I didn't actually feel bad for the main character because I didn't like him. Like if it would have been like he was more likable, then I would have felt, oh, poor guy.
In the end, you're also like, I could totally understand why none of his relationships ever worked out. All right, so let's talk about the soundtrack. What did you think of the music?
I like any soundtrack that has two Velvet Underground songs on it. What did you think of it?
I actually thought what I liked about the soundtrack was I think it has the right type of music that fit all of the, what that, you know, all their sourpuss attitudes, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, those are the bands that should have been there. Like, I especially, you know, because it has the Velvet Underground, it has some Kinks in there. I think how the end with how it ends on the I Believe in Falling in Love or whatever, the end track, I think that's a really strong mm-hmm. way to end the album. I mean, end the movie. So, yeah, I overall thought, you know, like you said, the Velvet Underground has Elvis Costello. I think the soundtrack is good. What do you think?
Again, the soundtrack looks good on paper, but I felt like in the movie for some, like, I don't know what it was, but I felt like the music didn't really, like, super pull me in. Like, it didn't seem like it was a, like, for a movie about music, I felt like it should have had, like, the music should have had a stronger pull to it. I felt like it was missing something for me. Like, it didn't click quite as much as I felt like it could have.
So when did you start realizing you didn't like this movie? Was there any point starting where you're like, okay, this is all right? Or was it always just from the beginning?
I think when he gave his first, he just was talking about his top five, like, heartbreak, like, breakups. I'm just like, ugh. Like, it just felt a little too...
Well, I think that's all connected to how you list albums and you list music and you know, and stuff like that.
And I felt like they didn't do top five. Like, I know that was the big point of it. Like, I felt like that was supposed to be the catch, mm-hmm. like how he'd list top five every things. But I felt like they didn't lean into that enough.
Well, he gave, like, his relationships and you just poo-pooed it. So, I mean,
like, how many top five music things did they actually do? Maybe three?
I don't
know. I felt like
they did the top five desert albums.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it would have been too much.
The first.
Yeah.
But I felt like I felt like they didn't really stress, like, how much he liked to list his top fives. Like, he didn't really do a lot of top five listings.
Yeah. You know what? Now that I think about the movie, I think the plot with the whole, like, him making the band with the skater punk kids or whatever,
mm-hmm.
I don't think it had to be in there at all. Like, I think maybe it could have ended with him saying, like, ending up just signing the kids. And I guess that's how they get Jack Black to sing the song. But, like, I don't know. I feel like that was a subplot. And maybe that was the problem, too. There were just more added plots. Like, the dad died and that connected them back.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, then they had to do the whole band thing. And that's where it was like, okay, maybe it should have ended around there. Maybe that's what it
is. I thought that's what it was going to end with. Then it's like,
it kept going.
Yeah.
It's still going. Like, it's like the Lord of the Rings ending. Oh my gosh. All right. So you did not like it. Did you watch this with your wife?
I watched it with the old wife.
And she young wife. Loved it?
She did not like it either. Did your wife like it?
I think she enjoyed the movie, but I think she also sees my point about they are just miserable characters. I was actually, I think, complaining more about it. I was just saying, I was like, wow, this really does. I guess I never realized how all I did always I know I never liked the one scene about when they're, like, not giving the music, like, to the guy. I'm like, that's just rude. Or, like, the guy's trying to get an album for
his daughter.
And you're like, well, that's just bad business. Like,
I mean, that was one of the funnier parts for me. That's, like, where I kind of thought
it was. And that's because you're a snob.
Yeah, I can relate to that.
So maybe now that I'm thinking about it, did you not like the movie because there's a part of you in all
it hit
the...
too close. It hit too close to home.
Yeah, you He's just organizing saw, his you're seeing
organizing
yourself.
His records by organizing his records autobiographical. However he did it. What did he say? How do you rearrange his albums? Yeah.
Yep. It's you. That's why you didn't like it. You see yourself in it. There we go. We cracked the case. You know what? It made me carry it like it because she realized she's married to John Cusack.
Oh, I did like the Bob Dylan song.
Yes. It was Most of the Time.
Most of the Time.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, that's a good one. There we go.
So there's the one positive. You liked the Bob Dylan and the fact
saved
that
it. Yep.
And the fact that it had some Velvet Underground in it. Mm-hmm. Well, we'll talk about this again more when we compare it to the movie we're watching next time, which if you want to watch before our next episode is going to be, what movie did you pick, Jimmy?
We are going to talk about Almost Famous.
And you almost forgot.
That's how memorable it is.
Let's talk about My Morning March Madness. Did I get that right?
Yes.
I don't know if
we'll go with that.
Yes.
It doesn't matter. Just throw some M's in there and...
Well, yes.
It'll all be good.
So, a little while back, a couple years ago, we did this with the National, and we decided to do this with one of Jimmy's favorite bands, My Morning Jacket. However, last time we talked about our 10 out, we ranked our favorite albums in an app, then we talked about our favorite songs. This time, instead of doing all of that, I think we're going to talk about this. We're going to split them up. We're going to start from the first four albums, which are, of course, The Tennessee Fire, At Dawn, It Still Moves, and we're going to get all the way to Z, and then we're going to talk about the kind of, since that was kind of where their sound changed a little bit, I think. Do you agree with that?
Yeah.
That's, I would say, we're going to switch that to the next episode. And then at the end, we'll rank where we have the albums now, and we're going to see where they stand after we add the albums after that. So, Jimmy, since this is one of your favorite bands, why don't you review to the audience kind of how you got into My Morning Jacket?
I think I got into them probably around 2004, 2005-ish. It was between, after their third album, It Still Moves, was out, but before Z was released. I remember I did not go see them in Lancaster. I think I got into them like right after they played the Chameleon Club in Lancaster. And I'm sad I missed it because apparently at that time they were like the dirtiest rock band you ever, like, that people ever saw. Like, they didn't have shoes. They came like...
They were traveling in a van.
I don't know if they wanted to be cool or they just couldn't afford shoes.
Yeah.
But like... They showed up with their stuff, like, they apparently had a great, like, you know, they busted out one big holiday, and then they left without the shoes, and, like, sad I missed it. But I got real into them in college, saw them more than a handful of times, went to see them for our honeymoon.
Yeah, so you went to the whole festival and got sick the whole time.
Got very sick, drank the water.
Oh, no.
Drank the, it was actually the tainted liquor, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But it was still a great time. And I don't know. They are one of my top five all-time favorite bands.
All right.
What about you?
I can say I got into My Morning Jacket a little bit, I would say, since they definitely were a band I would have missed, because this was when I was in college and I was not listening to really any kind of current mainstream music. I was delved in my classical world. And so I discovered them right around Z. And then in 2008-ish, right before Evil Urges came out, there was a former teacher that he was one of those old music heads, and he found out I liked music. So he would always burn me the CDs, and it was always nice. And, you know, he's unfortunately passed away. So it was listening to this, it actually made me think about him, because I texted you. I said, I didn't know a lot of these song names, but I knew a lot of these songs because he used to burn me just all these albums, and I was listening to them on a burned CD. And yeah. So a lot of the songs I actually did recognize. Even though I was like, oh yeah, I know this one. And like, so, but that's also, and I'll get to one of the songs in particular when we get to the album, but I got into them. However, I will say they are a band where I can always listen to them. They can come in the mix. I'm not going to skip them, but I can't say I've listened to, especially their most recent stuff, which is why I'm kind of interested to talk about them. Cause it's going to make me kind of listen, like The Waterfall. I got to say I listened to once or twice. And I mm-hmm. maybe listened to the most recent one maybe once.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to hear those again. Because we'll get to those later albums, but it was interesting to see kind of to start again and start fresh with starting with the first album and just kind of listening to them album by album instead of,
yeah.
They were always a shuffle band, I guess I would describe them. You know what I mean? Like I was always hearing them shuffled up. What?
That makes sense. And I will say, so if you got into around Z, it was almost like time-wise the same. It's just, you're an old man and I'm a young boy. So we were just in different stages of our lives when we got into them.
Yes. And I saw them. I don't think I saw them until, was it Circular Tello? How do you pronounce that? Circular?
Circuital.
Circuital. That's the one. Circuital. That's going to be a nightmare for me to try to say that one. But that was when I actually got to see them. I've only seen them once, and that was the one time I got to see them. So I have seen them live, and I did really enjoy seeing them live. They were fantastic. Saw them at the good old Merriweather. So let's move on to the albums. So the first album was released in 1999, and that was the Tennessee Fire. And what do you think about this album overall?
I love them all.
Yes.
This one, I will say, I feel like I like it more since like hearing the songs like live and what they do with them now as a whole band, like live versus on this album. I feel like this is more of like, you know, a Jim James album with a band. Like it's more just his, you can tell it's more his writing and less the whole band involved with like the creative process, I think.
Yeah. I was saying, listening to this album, it's a little long, and it sounds like, and I totally agree, because they kind of formed in 98, and this was released in 99, so they kind of, he probably just had a bunch of these in his pockets.
Mm-hmm.
And it definitely sounds like that, but there are definitely songs on this album that I think really kind of just stand out, and like, it seems like the one thing, it seems like My Morning Jacket probably should get credit for, maybe, and you can answer this better than I can, but it seems like they're not afraid to go back to their old songs either.
Correct. I don't know. Did you listen to it? Did I send you the live?
You said you sent me the set list, but I didn't. I couldn't find it anywhere. So is that true?
I might have sent you the whole thing if you want to listen to it sometime. But no, yeah, when I actually saw them live, they actually played all their albums in their entirety.
In order?
So, yeah, pretty much. They switched up a few songs. They played, like on the first night, they played Phone Went West last, because now it's more of their closer when they play songs. So they played that one at the end of the night.
Yeah.
But no, they still go back to the old songs, and you know they make them more like less stripped down than it is in the, like a lot of them are on the album.
Mm-hmm.
But
so if you had to pick out your Yim Jams on this album, which would you pick?
It depends what mood I'm in. I will say, the last time I saw Butch Cassidy live, it made me weep like a baby.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
There is a soft side to Jimmy. Look at that.
It is. I like Butch Cassidy, The Dark,
yeah.
War Begun, I don't know, The Bear.
I like The Bear a lot.
Heartbreaking Man's good. That one's a lot more upbeat when they play it live.
I gotta say, the one that I like, Picture of You as well.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one that really, that messed it, and this is because I just watched David Lynch, of course, and I was talking to you about, I watched Twin Peaks now, so I'm thinking about it. And It's About Twilight Now,
mm-hmm,
is a song that when I listened to it, I was like, this reminds, there's this great, especially in the last season where He literally has like almost a full band perform almost an entire song in the middle of an episode. And it's always in this grin, like this gringy bar, and this is the music that I could picture in, like, David Lynch using. And that's so, but, like, I do like how they're able, like, they go from these real, like, beautiful, almost just, like, 50s love songs on this album, and then it's just, like, dirty, grungy rock.
Mm-hmm. And, no, I Will Be There When You Die is also a tearjerker. I feel like that one's...
Yeah. I think the album, like, and it's weird, like, I think the album has a little bit of Lonesome Crowded West where it's a little too long into my liking, but I think it's easier to listen to from start to finish than Lonesome Crowded West is.
I agree. I feel like
the songs, for some reason, it makes me think of that.
It feels long. I mean, it's an hour long, but I mean, there's a lot of short songs. So, like, it's not like any song. Oh, that song's too much.
Yeah. Okay. So, it's also, I think, their most inconsistent sounding. What do you think?
I get that. I agree. I also think that has to do with the fact that it is their first album.
Right.
Like,
it's a heck of an album if this is your first album.
Mm-hmm.
I never want anyone to hear the band I play, my old band, our first album. It is the worst thing. Like we were young. We didn't know what we're doing recording. And, like, if my first album could have sounded 10% of that, I'd be like, this is great. Like, this is awesome. And obviously it was good for them because it got them going. And I will say, interestingly enough, they do a really good job of, you can tell they really space albums out. Like, even as they were younger, I mean, they always did a lot of, like, EPs, which we are only talking mainly about the studio albums. We can talk a little bit about the EPs maybe next step, but they really recorded a lot, but they made their albums spaced out over, like, a 3 to 4 year period.
Yeah, I agree. I think that had also to do a lot. They are, they're a touring band. They're on the road a lot, too. Like, I know after this one out, they went over to Europe and toured for it. So I think it's one of those things, too, where...
Yeah, they're always on the road.
It's not like they're a band that's more focused on the studio stuff. I think they're more focused on their live shows and their tours and stuff. And then when that's over, then they can go back to put out another album.
Mm-hmm. So let's move on down to At Dawn, which is, of course, their second album. And this album to me is a little confusing, and I like it. I do like the album, but it sounds like to me, like they almost, it sounds like some of these songs, like for example, Phone Went West, Lowdown, The Way He Sings, they sound like to me like they could be on It Still Moves.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's other songs that sound like they should be on Tennessee Fire. It's like a in-between album bridge gap of, like, their sound. It's almost like what Sad Songs for the National was to bridge them from their early stuff to Alligator.
I agree, and I feel like that's kind of, you can almost say on every one of their albums, is it's a bridge to the next one almost. Like, okay. I feel like they're a band that's constantly evolving their sound. Like, I think I've jokingly told you, like, all the National songs sound kind of alike.
Yeah.
And, like, but I feel like My Morning Jacket, you know, they're constantly, like, evolving. And, like, these first out songs are very, like, alt-country.
Mm-hmm.
And it slowly slips into, like, psychedelic.
Yeah. So, I gotta say, on this album, the one track that I was telling you about earlier when I started listening to them, that this was the sad, speaking of High Fidelity, woe is me, when I was in a former relationship, Phone Went West was like the song that it was like, woe is me in the car. And so when I heard it, I was like, man, I haven't listened to this song in so long, it's probably for that reason, but like... I was like, I still like the song, but that was, I remember, a big one for me when I was listening to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love this album. We're not ranking them right now, right?
No. We'll rank the fourth at the end. We'll rank our four at the end of this episode, and then we'll see how they do.
Okay. This album, I got into them after It Still Moves Before Z, but this, I think my roommate got, he saw them at Bonnaroo sometime probably like 06, 07, and had both, had Tennessee Fire and At Dawn. Mm-hmm. And during a couple weekends over the summer when it was hot, we didn't have like cable or anything, so I was all alone, and I would just like have this album that I just listened through like all day long.
I can't imagine awesome. How many times you listen to this album now that if you already listened to the new Hold Steady in like double digits.
Yeah, it was like just repeat it all day. Like,
so can you listen to these songs now front to back no problem and just know them?
Pretty much, yeah. When we saw them at One Big Holiday for our honeymoon, it was funny because I should have said, like, back during Tennessee Fire, I'm like, he started off with Heartbreaking Man, and then they ran, and The Bear, I'm like, they're playing all the old songs, and it took till like, you know, 4 or 5 when I'm like, wait a minute, these are all on Tennessee Fire, and then like it slowly clicked for everyone that they were doing, you know, the whole album.
Right.
And that was cool. Like, it wasn't announced they were doing it. It was funny how it took a while to click that, like, oh, these are all the old songs.
Right.
But, yeah, I can pretty much front to back know At Dawn, like, without even listening. Like, this was a lot easier for me to take in than when we did The National.
Because you already knew them.
Yes.
Yeah. So, what is there in particular? I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of songs you love on this album, but like, what are some of your favorites on this one?
Phone Went West.
Yes.
Especially when they, like, it's a lot more energetic and upbeat when they do it live now. Like I said, they close out their songs with it, mm-hmm. and it's more of a Bringing Down the House song.
I like that they switched that up instead of doing it with like Strangulation or something.
Yeah, which I do like Strangulation.
Yeah, but ending on a live show.
Yeah,
it made sense.
I remember the first time I heard At Dawn, like the intro, it just was a cool way to start off the album. Lowdown is always good.
Yes, the way he sings.
Like the first side, like I think it might be four vinyls, but I think like side A, like 1, 2, 3, and 4. At Dawn, way he sings, and Death Is the Easy Way was a great side one.
Do you have most of their albums on vinyl?
Yeah, yes. I think I'm. I don't know what I don't have. I might have them all. Huh. Not Waterfall 2.
Okay.
But.
So, let's move on to their third album, It Still Moves. And then we have one more after that. Where... So, you said did you discover this before you discovered Z?
I remember the first song I heard of them was One Big Holiday, and that was probably around right before, like before Z came out. Like, I don't think I was completely into this album before Z came out, so it was kind of like both of them at the same time.
Mm-hmm. This front out. The first half of this album it's a really incredible way actually to start the albums. Both these, I think It Still Moves and Z have really just amazing kind of just starts of an album going.
Yeah.
And so, especially with, of course, the I think One Big Holiday is, would you say that's a fan favorite?
Mm-hmm.
Easily.
Yeah. On Hundo.
Yeah.
I mean, Magida is a great opener.
Yeah.
And like you said, right into it. Those first five tracks are like, I don't know, the perfect start to an album. And I don't know, we'll talk about it later. At first, I thought this was front. Sometimes I feel like this is front loaded. The back 10 drag on. But if you're in the mood for it, those last songs are a lot. They're a lot drawn. I know you don't like a long song sometimes. But if you're in the mood for long songs, those last the ones are pretty amazing too.
I will say, I have to give one thing. I will say I'm not always the biggest fan of longer songs, but I will say My Morning Jacket does a good job of not getting boring to me on the longer songs.
Like Steam Engine, one that
when
it really kicks in halfway through.
Yeah, and when it kicks in, you're like, all right, it gets somewhere, and so it's not like Journey, that Journey song everyone loves, Don't Stop Believing, where it goes nowhere. It never gets anywhere. It never builds into
somewhere.
Anything.
That goes somewhere, too.
Huh?
That goes somewhere, too.
Yeah, it doesn't. Sorry.
Don't Stop Believing.
I stop believing in that song when it goes nowhere. Sorry, hot take by Dave. But anyway, it still moves. I think on all those long songs, they do a good job of having like just tonal and energy switches where... I think their longer songs do hold up. I do think the album is pretty front-loaded compared. I mean, I still think the back, like you said, is good and enjoyable. But this is definitely, I think, very... I mean, because those ones out of the gate are pretty crazy. But, like, I mean, Run Through is great.
Yeah, but, I was going to say that.
Go ahead.
Run Through, I agree, Run Through, when it does that breakdown.
Well, and that just, like, that beginning guitar lick, it reminds me a lot of, like, Black Napkin, like, licks from Frank Zappa. But but that guitar just pulls you in right away with that, you know, that just nice, the pull. It pulls you in right away.
Mm-hmm. And I will say, when we talk about albums, like, Bridge into the Next One, I feel like Run Through is the one that really, like... kind of is a tell to what they're gonna do next. Like, if like that wanted to do that breakdown, like the
I know exactly what you're talking about towards the end.
And then when it kicks back, like, but I feel like that's kind of more into the Z and post Z My Morning Jacket. Like, I feel like that's kind of where they're headed.
Right. So let's get to Z, which, interestingly enough, my wife bought she bought this album and Kings of Leon album because she read about them on one of the Plane magazines.
Wow. And so good work, she Plane magazine.
Yeah, I know. And so she saw them, I guess, at the airport. She picked them up, and so she had it, and like, I was like, that's pretty good job, airport, like you said, good job, airport magazine. So Z is definitely, you know, they were definitely, they got a lot of praise during It Still Moves. But Z is when I would say they definitely became in the mainstream. Do you agree?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
mainstream,
I feel like,
mainstream for them.
Yeah. No, I feel like this was their break.
This is
like
where they became like what the National are. Where, like, if you are, you don't have to be a... They're no longer this unknown band. If you like indie rock, you probably heard of My Morning Jacket.
Yeah, this is like headlining Bonnaroo.
Yes.
My Morning Jacket.
Right.
They can get shoes. They have. They wear shoes now.
They can afford shoes.
He wears capes and suits and goes all out.
Yeah. I gotta say, this album is really, really good. So... I'm going to just jump to it right now. This, out of these first four albums, I think this is my favorite album right now so far.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I think this album, comparing them to the first four, it's the... I almost want to say It Still Moves, but comparing it to everything else, it is... the most complete album I think they have so far, at least that we're talking about so far.
I agree that it can either be honestly, it's whichever one it is to last. Like, when I was re-listening to these for this, I said At Dawn's gonna be my favorite when I was listening to that. Then I listened to It Still Moves, and I'm like, oh, now this one has, like, I'm stupid to not say It Still Moves is gonna be my favorite. And then I listened to this one, which I actually haven't listened to the whole way through in a couple years.
Z?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm like, well, now this one has to be my favorite. And that's why I said today, I'm going to pick whichever one you do not pick as my favorite.
So what's your favorite? Let's get to it.
It Still Moves. I re-listened to it again, and it's better.
But if I would have said It Still Moves, you would have said Z.
I still would have said It Still Moves.
Okay. Good. I like this. Because I feel like I originally earlier today told you It Still Moves. But when I was listening to Z, I'm like, no. We were talking about the front-loaded, how It Still Moves is the first half is maybe just a little bit stronger than the second half. And I think Z is just a better, in terms of just a complete album from front to back, I think it's a complete vision of what the band is. And so, like, I think even though they have made some maybe sonic shifts a little bit from even this point, I think this still can sound like, I still think you think this sounds like what you think of when you think of My Morning Jacket.
I agree. I would say this could be their most defining album. I feel like this is the bridge between new and old My Morning Jacket.
And like, I think it also has the most, it's the most accessible My Morning Jacket album.
Yeah, I believe that. I think if it's, yes.
Because, like, off the record, I think if you show that to most people and you're at a party or, you know, you're just hanging around, you put that song on, they're going to like it.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, let's focus on this one, then I'll go back to It Still Moves after this. But the guitar solo on Lay Low does, it's relentless. It doesn't stop, and it's amazing.
Yes. Let's put that one on a little bit so we can hear a little bit of Lalo. But, yeah, and this is the one where, Lalo, I mean, that's what I mean. Like, there is just, I mean, What a Wonderful Man. I mean, just you look at all these songs, and you're like, there's, it's just like most of the song is just crazy strong songs after one or the other. There's some songs that are like maybe okay or good, but then there's just like great song after great song.
Yeah. And then Not Comes Loose after that is a nice calm down. But I like back a track anytime. Mm-hmm. I kind of forgot about the very first line that he comes in. I love how it does like almost that Poltergeist fade in. Kind of part to it that made me smile. Closing out on this too, the last track is also like,
all right, this is actually what made me change my mind, honestly. Don Dante, I think out of all these first four albums, is one of, like, I don't know, and I'm listening to it right now, but I'm like, this is, if I would really, really think about a list of best closing tracks, this is one up there for me. It's so good. Of how to edit an album, go out on a high note. I mean, good God, they really do it on this album. And it's like they saved their longest song, and I think it shows that, like, you can have 8-minute songs. But, like, it's when you do it and if you do it well. And, like, this is an 8-minute song. It does not get old. It pushes you to the end, and it just takes you the whole time.
I know, as for at least a couple years ago, every time they play this song live, Yim has to go off stage and, like, have a breakdown and cry during the saxophone part. Like, after, because it's about, I think it's about him losing his one friend, and he says, like, it's still every time he sings it, it's like that emotional. He has to go off stage and they jam for a while without him before he can,
I mean, back. Yeah,
which you can almost hear in the album version too. It's he's a great way of putting all the emotions in his songs.
It is amazing. His voice is one of those amazing things. And I always do think of that weird American Dad episode where they had My Morning Jacket on. It's like a voice of an angel. Do hear that. But then when he screams, though, it's a lot like Herring from Future Islands. Like, mm-hmm. when he does the scream, it really hits you more because you're like, oh, his voice is so nice. But when he does his rants and it's just his yelling in the middle of songs, oh, it's just so great.
And just the stage presence in general. Like, when he comes out strutting around and whatever he's doing, like,
mm-hmm.
He's, like, one of the greatest, like, showmen, frontman, like, today, I would say. Like, I can't think of anyone that really, like, draws you in quite like he does.
Yeah. It's like, I had to see them again. Because, like I said, it's been so long since I have seen them. They are definitely a band I need to go see again. Because it'll be probably, like, 10 years at this point since I've seen them. So I kind of said, I just went into it. I said Z is my first album. So I guess we can work back. I mean, we don't need to explain it. But, like, so my ranking, I'll go real quick, I think is Z. I think it's just actually just right now it's going back 4-1. It's Z, It Still Moves, At Dawn, and then Tennessee Fire.
Mine is going to be number 4, Tennessee Fire. Mm-hmm. Number 1C is At Dawn. Number 1B is Z. And number 1A is It Still Moves. Because...
what?
I don't know. Any one of those three songs could be my favorite.
Such a cop out.
I mean, if I have to pick right now,
pick right now.
It's like picking your favorite child, which I know everyone does have their favorite child, but you're not supposed to admit it.
No comment. I love both my children very much.
Tennessee Fire, At Dawn, Z, and my favorite is It Still Moves. I'll give Z.
Say it again one more time. What is it?
My favorite is It Still Moves.
Okay.
Then Z.
Okay.
Then At Dawn, and then Tennessee Fire is 4-4.
Okay, so we agree with At Dawn and Tennessee Fire being at 4-3 right now.
Yes.
Okay. So it's.
But it's.
So let's talk about It Still Moves. Why do you think that's above Z right now?
If I'm going per minute, I would give it the Z. I feel like Z packs a wallop. It's only 45 minutes long.
Yeah, that's a perfect length.
It's very
it pleases the earworms, you know what I mean? Like, yes. like it's very it's a pleasing album to listen to. But it does Don Dante, man, it rocks. It's not like it is not. He doesn't I think it has all of those elements from those earlier albums. Just this is their most polished thing they've done so far at this point in time.
I agree. They don't waste anything on the album.
Mm-hmm.
It's much more produced than the earlier tracks, mm-hmm. the earlier albums. I feel like they're less alt country and more pop, not pop, so like rock, just like, you know, what they're going to be like, psychedelic rock kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, when I listened to it, it was my favorite album. But then I went back and I re-listened to It Still Moves before this.
So if we would have listened to Z before...
If I didn't listen to It Still Moves today, I probably would have said Z. But I did listen to It Still Moves.
Now, is this... Here's my question to you. Do you see... Because I have to go listen to we're going to be listening to the next albums for the next episode. I'm going to go dive into them.
Mm-hmm.
But based off of me thinking about what I knew about, I got to listen to more Waterfall. That's going to be the kind of more new adventure for me. But Circuital, the one I can't say. Mm-hmm. Say it again.
Circuital.
Yeah, I can't ever say it. I, for my life, I never will remember it. And then Evil Urges are ones I did listen to more. I did listen to these albums. And I can see them moving some of the current rankings around. Do you see that for you?
They're going to move. Wait, they're going to move around.
Are you going to have some of the next half? The let's say that's the sonic shift half. They kind of shift in the next album. Do you see some of the, are those later albums getting in, or are you like one of those, I'm the purist, I like the old albums?
We'll see what happens when I listen to them. I don't know, I like them all. That's why I didn't want to do them all at once, because it is going to be really hard to choose, like,
because now you got to choose eight babies instead of
the middle
four.
One. Yeah, the middle ones in my list, it's going to be hard to rank all the middle guys. But as of, I don't think any of the later ones will take over the top spot. I'll be surprised if they do, but who knows? Maybe they will. I haven't listened to Circuital in a very long time. The whole way through. I actually haven't listened to Evil Urges the whole in a very long time either.
So I don't think Waterfall. See what you see.
I don't think either Waterfall will have a chance at taking the top spot.
But it will be interesting to see how you rank maybe Waterfall compared to the earlier albums like Tennessee Fire and At Dawn.
Tennessee Fire has a little bit of chance, maybe slipping a few spots from four.
Okay. Well, I guess you'll have stick for next time to see.
Real quick, because I said how great Z is. Mm-hmm. I feel like
it still moves. It's not your number one.
I feel that's because, one, it still moves has One Big Holiday, which
is probably one of your favorite. Is one of your favorite songs.
And yes.
You had that on your list of XPN, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, I did. The whole album, it's just, it is more drawn, like you were saying, how like tight Z is. I feel like
it still moves, it still gives you more bang for your buck.
And it's a lot looser in general by design.
Okay.
It has more of that southern, like, Leonard Skinner almost, like, guitar, like, real heavy guitar solos. Like, it has a lot of, like, reverb-y to it. It's a looser album, and I think I like it better. It's a little more unpolished. Like, they still haven't, like,
You like... Masked... Okay, I see what you're saying. Because this, like, It Still Moves was the one where they were, like, on a bigger record label, ATO Records.
Yeah.
So...
This still has a little bit of the... Old the, roots. Like, DIY...
Yeah.
...kind of mentality to it.
The No Shoes My Morning Jacket band.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
I like a band when they still have that like
roughness,
that like dry, like that. If we don't make this, if this isn't perfect, we're like not going to be able to eat, and we're going to have to get real life jobs.
So I really want to make you rank your. I don't need to rank my favorite songs. I want to make you rank your songs next episode too.
I can do it.
I want Jimmy to do his 10 favorite My Morning Jacket songs next episode.
We can do I'll fill out a bracket. If you give me a bracket, I'll do one. I'll find the bracket they did before, and I'll actually do a My Morning March Madness.
Okay. That's it. Yeah, we'll see how this goes. All right. So that's going to wrap it up for this time. Next episode, we're going to be talking about the second half of My Morning Jacket's current releases. Album releases, and we are of course going to be talking about also Jimmy's pick, which is Almost Famous, and maybe we'll see if we got anything right about the Grammys, but who knows.
All of them. Good luck, Phoebe.
Yes, take home the Grammy. I hope you don't strike out. All right, folks, that's gonna wrap it up for us. We'll talk to you next time.
Bye.